Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is Thursday morning. Thursday. Every other week, we get to visit with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services, and lots of fun in studio today. The studio is packed with folks who are ready to, well, we're getting ready for next week for Valentine's Day and a whole week of love, and well, more in just a moment. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them in the sponsors section on our website, kfuo.org. It is Thursday, our day with our friends from LSS, Lutheran Senior Services, older adults living life to the fullest. Anne Marie Wallace. Good morning, Anne Marie.
Good morning, Andy. How are you today?
I am doing well.
Good. Well, like you said, Valentine's Day is coming up next week, and we're super excited at LSS, which is why, like you said, we have brought lots of friends with us today to kind of get everyone in the spirit to celebrate and also to talk about just how we can shower love on our community as a whole, which is always something that we're looking to do at Lutheran Senior Services.
Lots of things, all things love.
With
Valentine's Day.
All things love this week.
And February is a month where we talk about heart health too, right?
We do. It's a nice tie-in. And so today I've actually brought one of my good friends from LSS. This is Christy Bulb. She's our Director of Volunteers and Community Engagement. And so she's going to talk to us a little bit about today, about how we can show love to our older adults in our communities. And I do want to remind everyone as well is when we come on for our segments, we do something really cool in the fact that we live broadcast. So if you go to facebook.com/Lutheran Senior Services, you can actually see what's going on in the studio right now. So we're going to give a wave to our friends over there. And then that's going to be really important later as we introduce our special guests as well, because there's more people that's going to be joining us in studio and you're going to want to see what they're doing. So again, you can go to Facebook Live. If you go to the Lutheran Senior Services page, you can see what's going on in studio right now. And then later that video is archived, so you can go back and share it with your friends, comment, like it, and watch it over and over.
And the good news is today I will not be demonstrating my inadequate sports or athletic ability.
Yeah, that did get a few comments at the office later. Andy was bowling last week because we were talking about bowling for wellness.
It's the trim on the floor. The ball bumped every time it hit the trim. That's my story.
Great, Andy.
That's my story. I'm sticking with it.
There you go. So yeah, so Christy, tell us a little bit about community engagement, because we want to jump into what does that actually mean and how can that make an impact not only in our own lives, but also in our communities?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having us, Andy.
Absolutely. Welcome back, too.
Yeah,
glad to have you in studio again.
So excited to be here. So community engagement. So at Lutheran Senior Services, of course, our mission is older adults living life to the fullest. So my job and my department's job is to go out into the community and tell people about that mission and then try to coerce them, if you will, and get them to come in and not just volunteer, but to really get engaged in our mission. Help us to serve seniors both in our communities and outside of LSS as well. So finding some really unique ways that they can engage using their time, using their talents and their treasures. So me finding out what those things are and then really engaging them. So like Anne Marie said, we have some awesome people here today who are going to demonstrate that. Super excited.
And you're the right personality for that. Getting out in the community, getting to know the community and making those connections between LSS and the community.
Christy does such a good job. Aww. She really like people willingly volunteer for Christy.
I really don't coerce them. That's probably the right word. But yes, no, you're right. I love going out and talking to groups and individuals and getting them excited about seniors. I'm passionate about it. And so I try to get other people to be as passionate as that.
So Andy,
yes,
we have some special guests. Do you want to go and meet them?
I do. Well, I would love to meet them. We'll send our camera back with them. And I'll do my best to talk from here.
Perfect. But, so this is the point.
Should I segment who they are?
Yeah.
Okay,
who,
great.
Who do we have today?
Okay, so real quick, a few weeks ago, I went out to Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles, Missouri, and talked to the confirmation students there, along with their parents. A little bit about serving others, why Jesus wants us to serve, why we're called to serve, and getting young people just excited about serving in general. And then, of course, I wanted to plug in a little bit about serving seniors, because that's what we do. So while we were there, I had the kids do a service project for Lutheran Senior Services. And you'll get to see in a second what they made that night. They did a fabulous job. And then I brought four of those kids with us today, along with their director of Christian education, who you'll meet in just a second. And they're going to actually continue to demonstrate that service project that they did that night and do a little bit more today. So the goal here is to see, you don't have to have a lot of time to give back to others. We're going to do it today in less than 30 minutes. So we're going to see what they can do, Andy.
So what are we going to do in less than 30 minutes to serve others?
So next week, of course, is Valentine's Day, like we said. We are kicking off a Week of Love challenge and how we can show love to seniors. And since it's Valentine's Day, what we are going to do today is we are going to make little Valentine's cards for our seniors. We actually have 10 communities at Lutheran Senior Services called affordable housing communities. And in those communities, we have about 750 residents. Our goal is to get a Valentine card into the hands of every single resident there. So these kids got a great jump start that night. I think they made about 300 cards for us. So we're going to see how many more they can do today.
They're getting ready
for me. So that's what we're going to do. Share love with seniors through Valentine's.
I have got a secret ear. I can hear what's going on back there.
Ooh.
And they are working diligently. I hear all the artwork going on in the background. I hear the paper working.
Awesome.
And they're whispering because they don't want us to hear them, but they're working diligently back there.
Well, one of them is my child, so she's probably whispering about her mother. Let's just be honest, Andy.
Well, do we want to go meet our volunteers?
Yeah.
Should we go meet them? All right, I'll follow you guys back there. If you want to go back and introduce,
okay.
I'll follow you back in just a minute.
Okay.
So, all right.
There goes our video. So again, if you want to see what's going on, you can go to facebook.com/Lutheran Senior Services and you can see our volunteers from Emmanuel who are making some cards right now. So I think our video is over there. How's it looking?
Good.
They are getting ready. I told them they didn't have to be artistic to do this, Anne-Marie.
Well, that's the thing. You can serve in multiple ways with multiple gifts. And that's the great thing, I think, about Lutheran Senior Services. There's so many different ways to be connected, to make an impact through time, through talents, like you were saying.
Absolutely.
But we do have, they're pretty artistic. I've seen some of the cards back there.
Well, one of the kids' mother is an art teacher, so I have a feeling she's kind of given her a little bit of oomph this morning to really do a good job.
There we go.
She did some research.
I talked
to them beforehand, and she did research. Yes.
Back there with our volunteers is actually Angie Sutton. We met her last week when we were talking about Bowling for Wellness. Angie, can you introduce everyone who's there around the table with you?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Facebook Live and here at KFUO. I have some friends here today that we're making Valentine's for our seniors, so I'd like for them to introduce themselves, so we're going to start right over here.
I'm Ellie.
I'm Isaac.
I'm Jolene.
I'm Caroline.
I'm Jenna.
And we're going to see how many Valentines we can make over the next 20-ish minutes and make an impact in our seniors' lives today.
There we go. And they're doing a really good job over there. And you'll also, if you're on Facebook Live, you'll see behind the kids, we also have some candy, some bags there. And so, Christy, you guys have also been collecting some goodies as well.
Absolutely. So the night that I went out to talk to the kids at Emmanuel, last minute, Jolene and I were like, you know, what if each kid actually brought something in to donate to these low-income seniors? And so we thought, it's Valentine's, make a Valentine's Day. What about candy? Who doesn't want candy on Valentine's Day? So we collected over, in just that 2-hour period, 50 pounds of candy.
Oh my gosh.
So we are have split that up and divided that amongst all the communities. I took some of the kids yesterday to one of our communities at Halls Ferry Manor in North City and let them go and deliver some of that yesterday. And then over the next few days between now and Tuesday, we'll deliver the rest. So
very good. And so what are some of the communities? Give us an idea of where those communities are that these will be going to.
Okay. So the farthest community from here would be down in Lebanon, Missouri. Mm-hmm. So on the way to Springfield on Highway 44, we have a couple there. We have one not too far from here in Kirkwood. And we have one in Eureka, over in Belleville, Illinois, and then North City and Mid County. So just pretty much all over St. Louis metro area.
So a group of students from Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles working on making these Valentines and gathering candy, and it's going out just from that small group of students out to all these communities, not just in the St. Louis area too, like you said, outside of the St. Louis area as well.
Absolutely, and we've kind of spread it out even a little bit more from Emmanuel. I tell you, even this morning, I think I had 5 emails from different schools and churches wanting to make Valentine's and deliver them this weekend all over our communities in Missouri and Illinois. So I think it really is spreading. I think a lot of kids just see that joy in doing something in a short amount of time. So absolutely, not just this school, but many, many others.
That's right.
Well, and I know as well, Christy, obviously, you know, we're celebrating Valentine's this week and wanting to shower love on our older adults within our communities. But this is something you do year round. This is not just a one-time special event. And I know that you've had several groups come in, and they're actually other organizations, other corporations even, who partner with us and get a lot of joy out of serving our older adults as well.
Absolutely.
In fact, you had a corporation recently come by and serve. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, in the nonprofit world, especially here in the St. Louis metro area, organizations, corporations, businesses small and large are seeing the value in allowing their employees to give back to the community. Used to just be corporations would write a check, right? At the end of every year, it was a tax write-off. Now they're actually allowing their employees to take off work and go out and serve in the community. So a great example of that, recently I had, in December, I had Edward Jones, and they got together. It was a group that had kind of formed. So they were employees from all different organizations within the company, and they got together and had a new department, and they wanted something to kind of get to know each other. So it was kind of more of a team building exercise, if you will.
Sure.
So I had them come to one of our largest communities. There was about 25 employees. They spent a half a day with me, and they decorated 16 Christmas trees.
Oh my
gosh. And let me tell you, you know, you're married, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so imagine yourself undoing your Christmas lights, right? And how frustrated you get. So you and I have never met, and all of a sudden I put you in a room and you've got to undo Christmas lights with each other and decorate a tree. So it was a great team building exercise. By the time they were done, they had interacted with seniors. It would have taken our employees weeks to probably put up 16 Christmas trees, let's be honest. They had it done in a half a day. They went to lunch and then went back to work. So just an example of how corporations can give back, organizations can give back. I have tons of examples like that. I have a Sunday school class recently who called me and wanted to do something for some seniors in the community. So they made little decorations for the seniors' doors. Every single senior at that community in that area got something for the front of their door for Valentine's Day. It was awesome. And then the kids even went there and delivered it. It was fantastic.
So, I mean, what's really incredible about that is you just see people who don't know each other coming together and serving around, you know, a group of people and showing them how much they're valued, how much they're appreciated. There are so many benefits that I'm hearing from your examples that really, I think, and Christy, I think you'll also agree, that's what makes our communities stronger, is the fact that when we all come together, we bring the gifts, we bring the talents that we have, and then we shower that on people to show them that we love them being a part of our community and who they are.
Absolutely.
Your job is like the best job in the world.
I really do. I've worked here for like 11 years, and I do say I probably have the most fun job there.
You both brought up a really good point, that there's a value in serving together. Certainly, those we are serving benefit from it, but there's something else to be gained as well. You mentioned that some companies see this as a great team-building opportunity. There's something to be said about the fruits of serving together. You learn something about those you're working with, and especially when it's in a different environment, a different context than what you normally serve in. I know, you know, my experience working in a camp setting, serving with others, that's where some of those really meaningful relationships are forged, because you're working in a, you know, you're serving others. Your focus is all on taking care of and serving others when you're working with children and caring for them. Similar to this situation, you're doing something to serve someone else that you really want them to know that they're valued, and you're working together for that. And Absolutely. Lo and behold, there are some other benefits that come out of that for you and your team as well you're serving together.
And I go out and I do talk to a lot of groups about that very thing. So youth is a great example. Okay, what would they get out of doing a project like this today? Okay, so, or any kind of project, they go on a mission trip or anything like that. There's physical benefits, getting out, getting moving, social benefits. I mean, some of these kids know each other today, but some of them don't know each other as well. But they're going to know each other pretty good by the time they're done today.
And they also got a lesson in broadcasting while they were waiting around beforehand, because I got to visit with them.
So sorry, Manuel, that they're missing class, but they are learning while they're here. So, yeah, lots of benefits of giving back. And I talked to a lot of early retirees about co-op volunteering too. It's a way to stay active, stay engaged in your community. Yes, you're not working 9 to 5 anymore, but you have a purpose. Find out what that purpose is. Maybe you're not passionate about serving seniors, but find out what it is you're passionate about and being able to give back. So absolutely lots of benefits to volunteering, Andy.
How's it looking back there? Are they still working away? I hear them working diligently.
I see all the markers out. They got stamps over there.
Yeah.
I hear paper flying left and right.
Yeah. They are definitely.
So we want to also, Christy, so you had this idea about a week of love. Can you explain a little bit more? Because this is something that everyone can get involved in, whether you're here in the St. Louis area, whether maybe you're in Baltimore, where we heard the not so good weather this, just a little bit ago. But we're doing something that wherever you are, wherever in your community, you can make an impact throughout the week of Valentine's Day to show some love to a senior or maybe even a group of seniors. So tell us a little bit about the Love Week Challenge.
Absolutely. So we all know our population is aging, right? Okay, so especially in the St. Louis area. In fact, I think we're in the top 10 in the nation of communities with older adults, the most older adults. So whether you like it or not, older adults are going to be a part of your life. So we kind of got this idea, started with the kids over here and the Valentine's and showing love to seniors to maybe having a whole week of love, like you said. So next week being Valentine's Day, we decided that every day next week, we will have a challenge. We're going to put it out on Facebook. We already have it on our blog, on our website, a little preemption to what it's going to be next week. But what we want people to do is every day something else for a senior. And we are making this super, super easy. So you might have a neighbor who's a senior. You might have a grandparent. You might have a teacher who's over 65. You might have someone at your workplace that's over 65 or an older adult. So little bitty things that you can do next week. I don't want to tell you what all of them are, but I want to tell you that they are easy. They are almost no cost. They require very little time, but I promise you they will make a big impact on a senior.
So again, that's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Lutheran Senior Services. Every day we're going to be posting this new challenge. And so we're kind of throwing it out to our community and our community at large of, hey, make sure, go and check every day, see what the challenge is, either do it yourself or gather together a group of friends and do it together. And then even better, like, tell us what you did, share right. with back with us, you know, what you did and what the impact was, because we'd love to share this and then have more and more people join us in this challenge so that we can show love to our older adults.
And if you need help in coming up with things and the challenge doesn't give you that help, you're welcome to contact us at Lutheran Senior Services. If you go to our webpage or our Facebook page, it has my information on there, lssliving.org/volunteering.
Now, if you want a preview, it is on the blog. You mentioned it's
it
on
is.
The LSS.
We did give a preview of it. Mm-hmm. So if you kind of scroll to the bottom, we'll give you all 5 days ahead of time. If you want to like plan and set aside some time.
Got to get my supplies ready.
Yes. Get your supplies ready. Yes. So we did put all five of them there. Or you can wait and be surprised every day and have to think a little bit on mm-hmm. your feet. But like Christy said, these things, these challenges are not, they don't cost tons of money to do. They aren't very time consuming. But we're really excited to see what everyone does out there and really to see kind of that love spread throughout our community over this next week.
Absolutely. And I want to keep that passion going all year long. So I thought maybe today, Andy, we could talk a little bit about things that people could do after our week of love next
Absolutely.
Week as well. So something else that we're looking at Lutheran Senior Services and ways that we tie the community back into our seniors is finding out what people's talents are. So I'm constantly looking for individuals or groups who might want to come in and talk with our seniors. Maybe Andy wants to bring in his video equipment or a segment about something that he does, and he comes in and gets a group of seniors together. Who knows who's in the audience of those seniors who might have at one point been a donor to KFUO or visited here before and get that conversation going. I partner with a lot of universities in the St. Louis area and also in Illinois. Right now, we have a great group of sixth-year physical therapy students who are going to start volunteering their time at our affordable housing locations, coming in and basically practicing their skills with our seniors there. So you can see that we have people of all different levels. We don't turn anyone away. So we would love to have more people throughout the year, whether you're an organization, a business, an individual, someone with a talent to share, or someone who wants to make a card for an older adult. So lots of ways to get engaged. We want to just share that passion with people.
So speaking of cards, we have a few minutes left, and why don't we take a moment and go check in with our volunteers from Emmanuel Lutheran School and see how it's going. So our Facebook Live video is now going to go from the studio to our, I guess, our secondary studio today. And then, Angie, we'll throw it over to you. How's it going over there?
It's going great. Look at all the Valentines we've made just in the short amount of time. So we're definitely going to impact the lives of our seniors and our affordable housing. So we're super excited about that. So as we're continuing to work, I'd like to talk to Jolene for just a minute and see how she's coordinated and her involvement here and why she's here today.
Sure. So our confirmation class a few weeks ago met together with parents for our third quarter service project, and the goal was to do something for other people. So we talked with Christy with Lutheran Senior Services and asked if she had some ideas of ways that we could impact others through our service project. And she came in, shared with them opportunities to serve throughout the year. And we then put our hands and hearts into action and worked on Valentine's. The kids brought in candy as well, which will also go to the residents there. So we're very excited to serve and learn of new ways to impact our community with the love of Jesus.
And why do you feel that serving is so important for our community?
Sure, serving is a way to put our faith into action. So we create opportunities for our families to learn of new ways to serve. They don't have to be huge ways, but anything that can make an impact for others. We've done simple things like spreading mulch. We've done other things like collecting food at grocery stores that can then go to people in need. And there's all sorts of ways. You don't have to be a public speaker or super creative to serve other people.
Awesome. So I'd like to go ahead and ask you guys just a couple of questions. So if we can just pause for just a second, making Valentine's, which you've done a great job with just a little bit of paper and some pens and some stamps. You guys have made a great showing of what we can give to our seniors next week for Valentine's. So we appreciate your time. But how many hours do you think you may have served last year serving your community and volunteering?
Maybe like around 40.
Around 40
like different projects.
And how did it make you feel when you were serving others?
It felt really good.
It did? Did it make your heart feel warm?
Yeah.
Great. And does anyone else, how do you feel about serving, Ellie?
I like serving for other people. I think it's a good opportunity.
And was it hard to make the cards today, Jenna?
No, it was pretty easy.
It was pretty easy. How about you, Isaac? Did you enjoy making the cards today?
Yeah.
And who went and actually took the cards yesterday and delivered them to our community?
It was me and Jenna.
And how did the residents feel when you took them their cards and candy?
They felt really happy.
They did.
Thankful.
You think you made their day?
Yeah.
I think each of these cards are going to obviously make the days of our seniors and make them have a little bit happier Valentine's. So thank you very much. I'm going back to the studio.
There we go. We have like a multi-site broadcast today. We're like going high tech over here.
Well, you know, we can do that.
It's KFUO.
That's right.
You guys can do anything. Well, yeah.
Speaking of,
you want me to promo for next week? Because next week's pretty special,
too. Two weeks from now.
Okay. So I think that's February 23rd.
Yes.
We're actually going to be going into the community. So, Andy, you're taking KFUO on the road. We're going to be at Breeze Park.
Field trip.
We're going to be at Breeze Park Senior Living Community in St. Charles, which actually, Christy, that's where you first started with LSS.
I did. I worked there for 7 years. Great
place. So she's got a heart for Breeze Park, too. So we're going to be out there, and we're continuing the heart theme because, like you said earlier, it's National Heart Association Month. And so we've got some fun things lined up, some extra special guests. We're going to have a live studio audience then of all our residents from Breeze Park. So we're going to have lots of fun. So we hope that you're able to join us 2 weeks from now at 10 o'clock during the Faith and Family segment on February 23rd as we're live at Breeze Park Senior Living Community.
I'm excited about meeting the residents at Breeze Park. I'm excited about the food.
Fabulous.
I understand that we're also going to be exercising, talking about heart health that day. I do like to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps the camera doesn't need to be on me when I'm exercising.
Speaking of the residents there, I have one of my favorite residents there, and I don't like to play favorites, but she is following us today on Facebook, and we just celebrated her 103rd birthday.
Outstanding.
Is that not amazing? So shout out to Lois. Happy birthday, Lois. She's watching us today on Facebook Live from Breeze Park, but I'll be sure and tell her to look you guys from 2 weeks from now.
She can join us for the live in-studio audience.
Hey, I'm sure she probably will.
I love having all these folks in studio. Well, we are, so we're going to head out on the 23rd to Breeze Park, and these the volunteers here today, they're working on their Valentines. Any idea how much progress we made? They've made
number?
It sounds like they've made quite a few.
80. 80.
Wow. Very good.
That is awesome. So there's no doubt we're going to make our 750 goal, because I have kids from all different organizations making them. So fabulous.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being here today. LSSLiving.org is the website to find out more about Lutheran Senior Services. LSSLiving.org/blog is where you can find those tips for next week. All those ways you can serve others, serve seniors during that Love Week challenge as well. Thanks so much, Anne-Marie Wallace and Christy Bull. Thanks so much to our volunteers as well in the back. Thanks, everybody back there.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit more, Faith and Family on the way.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Slowly but surely, the number of abortion facilities in America is declining. Currently, 6 states have only 1 killing center left. They're Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, and West Virginia. This is a positive trend, but we have much work to do before all the babies and their mothers are spared from abortion. Planned Parenthood's marketing strategy is to consolidate their facilities into mega abortion centers. So even though there's fewer abortion mills, the number of abortions they commit is increasing. That's why diverting your tax dollars from them to legitimate women health centers is crucial. Contact your members of Congress to demand they end Planned Parenthood funding. Visit lifeissues.org and click on the microphone icon.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and congregations across the country as we celebrate Refugee Sunday, a time to lift up the gifts that migrants and refugees bring to our country and to reflect on Christ's message to welcome the stranger. Together, we can continue the mission of welcoming, embracing, and empowering newcomers. Visit LIRS.org/kit to download the Refugee Sunday kit for your congregations, including worship guides, bulletin inserts, videos, and more. LIRS.org/kit.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
Did you know that Moments of Assurance is celebrating its 10th anniversary? To help celebrate, we're offering you a chance to win dinner for two, music, and chocolates, a $175 value. You'll get a $100 gift card for dinner at a restaurant of your choice, plus two Lilyfield CDs and a very nice, delicious box of chocolates. That's dinner, music, and chocolates, compliments of worldwide KFUO. Be listening Thursday, February 9th, for your chance to win.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Lots of fun in studio as the volunteers, the students from Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles, are making their way out. And one of the fun things I love, the something I enjoy with my family, Arch books. And my son and I enjoy reading them. He loves the rhyme in those. And as he continues to grow in age, starting to pay more attention to and actually sit long enough to pay attention to an Arch book. And guess what? Concordia Publishing House has new Arch books being added to their lineup. Joining me by phone today, Peggy Keady. She's a senior editor with Concordia Publishing House. Welcome back, Peggy.
Good morning, Andy. It's good to be back.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks for the news about new Arch books. I'm excited.
Awesome. Yeah, we're always excited to come out with new Arch books. And this year, or this month, we're coming out with three new Arch books just for spring.
All right, so three new Arch books. What goes into to developing new Arch books like this? And for our listeners not familiar with Arch books, how would you describe them? For me, they're nice, generally, not always, but most of the time, rhyming books that tell a biblical narrative in language that's engaging for a young child.
Well, that's a really good description, Andy. They are 16-page, colorful Bible storybooks. Each Arch book tells one Bible story in a rhyme. Some rhymes are longer than others. Some of the verses, the lines are longer than others. But at the end of each Arch book, then, is a letter to parents that tells a little bit about the background of the story and also how they might incorporate that story more into their faith building at home.
And so these are fun books to sit down and read together. And as a child gets older, can then read to you as well because of the rhyming. I think it makes it easier to read.
It does. It definitely makes it easier to read. They have a sing-songy kind mm-hmm. of rhythm, and that's deliberate. So they're easy to listen to, engaging to hear. And also they do make good practice books for those emerging readers. Arch books are included in the Accelerated Reader Program, so schools that are part of that program can have Arch books that their students can read and then take their AR test.
What are some of the new books that are being added to the Arch books lineup this year?
Well, the three new books we have available right now are Joshua and the Fall of Jericho, and then Peter Surprises Rhoda. And the third one is called Jesus Christ is Risen Today, and that's our Easter Arch book for this year.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned the Easter Arch book this year. There are several Easter Arch books, which I like having several, because as we approach that in the church year and looking forward to Easter, we have a couple of different books, a couple of different angles to approach that topic.
Yeah, we have 15 or so different Easter Arch books available, and just as you said, each one of those approaches the story from a different angle. Some tell the story of Holy Week, and some just about Good Friday. Most of them talk about Easter Sunday. So yeah, it's a matter of how the parent or teacher or gift giver wants to tell that Easter story to the child. Our Easter Arch books make great additions to Easter baskets, by the way. They're a lot healthier than candy.
Absolutely. And they're affordable, too.
They are affordable. Arch books are $2.49. That's less than a lot of greeting cards these days. And they make a lasting gift because the child, the parent, can go back to that Arch book time after time and reread that story.
What a good point sometimes less than most greeting cards.
Yeah.
So instead of sending a greeting card, send an Arch book. If you're sending something for a holiday or a special occasion, send an Arch book in lieu of a greeting card. And then it's something that sticks around a lot longer than a greeting card, with a message that's perhaps a lot longer than a greeting card too.
Sure. Sure. Every arch book, as we said earlier, teaches a Bible story, but it also, the point of every arch book is for the child to learn what that Bible story means in his or her own life, what the Lord meant when he included that story in Scripture for us. It's for our learning and for our benefit. So those arch books, while they're teaching the Bible story, they're also teaching the child biblical application.
Tell me about the first one you mentioned, Joshua and the Fall of Jericho.
Yeah, that's a great Old Testament story. Of course, it's about how Joshua led this attack on Jericho, and how by the power of the Lord were able to defeat their enemies and regain the city. The artwork in this one is it's just very beautiful. One of the things about arch books that we take a great deal of care in is to portray these stories in a historically accurate way. So when the child looks at these arch books and they see what the buildings look like and what the garments look like and what the landscape look like, they can be assured that this is as historically accurate as we know to make it. All of our arch books go through a very thorough review process. They are edited to be sure. They also, the text is doctrinally approved, which means that our church body gets behind that text and says, yes, this teaches the same doctrine that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does. And also they are reviewed by a biblical historian who looks at the illustrations to just confirm that we are portraying these scenes as accurately as we can.
Let's take a look at the next one. Peter surprises Rhoda.
Yeah, this is an interpretation, a retelling of this moment when Peter has been imprisoned and he is released by this angel from that God has sent to release Peter from his chains and from his prison. And then he goes to this place during the middle of the night. He goes to this place where his friends are praying for him, and he knocks on the door. And Rhoda is so surprised. She recognizes his voice. She's so surprised that she forgets to open the door to let him in. So it's a comical scene, but it also teaches the child just how powerful our God is, and how angels are there to guide and protect us.
And then the Easter book this year, Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Yes, Andy, this book, we decided to go with a title that is the same title of a hymn that's very familiar to us. As we've sung historically, this hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, variations of it have been sung since the 14th century. So that's since the 1300s, people have been singing this hymn. So this Easter book tells the Easter story from the different perspectives of people who were there. So we get Joanna's perspective of that Easter day. We get Mary Magdalene's perspective of that day, and Peter and Cleopas, those people, those historical figures who were there at Jesus' resurrection, get an opportunity on each of these pages to tell just their view of how that day unfolded.
Arch books, you mentioned, have been around for quite a while. Who is, I talked about reading these with my young child, he's three. What is the age that they're originally written for? What's the audience they're usually written for?
Well, we say about 5 to 9. 5 for comprehension, 9 or 10 as children start to read on their own. But as long as a child is interested and willing to sit still on a parent's lap for a few minutes, arch books can be used for that child. So the parent doesn't have to read the story word for word. They can just skim through it as a two-year-old might be willing to turn the pages by himself and look at the pictures. The parent can say, oh, and here's Cleopas, and he's talking about Jesus, and here's Thomas, and he's looking at Jesus's wound, and anyway, so a two-year-old certainly can benefit from that. But the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old child is really beginning to learn Scripture and learn these Bible stories. That's the target age range for these books.
Three new ARCH books available from Concordia Publishing House, cph.org. Peggy, thanks so much for being my guest today, and thanks. Keep up the great work bringing out more ARCH books.
Thank you, Andy. It's always a pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, a great event going on here in the Metro East. Concordia University Chicago headed our way, bringing their musical talent. We'll find out more in just a little bit right here on Faith and Family.
The faithful face many challenges. In the United States, an increasingly secular society is hostile to people of faith. In many parts of the world, Christians face persecution and even death. Jesus himself warned us that we would be hated and persecuted for his sake. Free to be Faithful is a religious education and awareness campaign of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Part of that campaign is a 30-minute in-depth examination of specific religious liberty issues, and it's aired the third Wednesday of each month on Worldwide KFUO. I'm moderator Kip Allen. I examine these issues from a Christian point of view with experts from both the religious and secular worlds. Topics include the impact of the election on religious liberty, assaults on the traditional definition of marriage and family, and the fight for life. Listen live on Worldwide KFUO or streaming online at kfuo.org. The program may also be downloaded on demand.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Sarah's in studio with me today. Sarah, thanks so much for all your work on Faith and Family and helping us tell great stories of how God provides for us and vocation. And I know your favorite, missionary stories.
I do love missionary stories.
And one of your other favorite things to talk about.
Music.
And we get to share a great music story today. Joining us by phone this morning, Dr. Richard Fisher, Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Fisher, or as students know him, Doc Fisher. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning to everybody.
Glad to have you with us today. And tell us a little bit about the Wind Symphony of Concordia University.
Well, the Wind Symphony is a student organization that I started, well, I came to Concordia in 1974, but I renamed it the Wind Symphony in the fall of 1985 after I did my residency for my doctorate at Michigan State. And it's a group of about 62 players, and we've performed in just about every state and province of Canada. And this group has also performed three times in China, all over Europe, and this coming May, we're doing a South Africa tour, which is very exciting. We've also recorded 15 now CDs of sacred wind music. So it's a very active organization.
16 CDs. Outstanding. You know, Doc, we need some of those in our library here.
I would love to send them to you, especially it's really 15 CDs. And the 15th CD we just recorded this past weekend, which is a combination 500th anniversary of the Reformation CD, along with Africa, which we had a commissioned piece by Dutch composer Johan de Meij, who wrote a piece for us called African Harmony, which uses folk songs from Africa. And the world premiere performance will be in Basalto.
Very good. Very good. Zion Lutheran Church, Bethalto, Illinois, that is coming up March 3rd, correct?
Yes.
March 3rd, you bring in the Wind Symphony here to the Metro East, Zion Lutheran Church, Bethalto, and presenting the world premiere of this piece. Sarah's getting like kind of music excited here, like she's like jumping up and down in her chair in the studio here.
I'm so excited.
Well, tell me more about the music that the Wind Symphony will be bringing to this concert at Zion Bethalto.
Well, we'll be opening up with having the audience sing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Of course, Martin Luther wrote that. And it's a setting by B. Wayne Bisbee, orchestrated by William Brusick, who is the choir director and music director down in Houston area. And we're going to get the audience singing right away. And then we're going to do this world premiere performance of African Harmony by Johann DeMay. And then we're going to do a piece called Wayfaring Stranger by Christopher Nelson, a beautiful setting, very colorful setting. And we also just recorded that piece as well. Then we're going to do a brand new piece and a world premiere performance of a piece called To the Virgin Born by Stephen Lounsbrough. And it features, believe it or not, antiphonal pianos and a fiddle player. And it's a wonderful piece. And then ending the first half with the Symphonic Dance Number 3, Fiesta, by Clifton Williams. And it's a very, very exciting piece. Then we're going to open up the second half with Psalm 46 by John Zadeklik, written for actually one of the other synodical schools back in 1971, Concordia, St. Paul, Minnesota. And it's based on A Mighty Fortress, but more of a theme variations kind of a piece. Very, very good piece. And then we're going to switch gears totally and play Blue Shades by Frank DeKelly, which is somewhat jazzy, and it features our principal clarinet player, Jared Brown. Then we're going to do a transcription by Eric Whitaker. He wrote it originally for a choir. It's called Luke's Arumque, and but he also transcribed it for band from the choral version, and it's a gorgeous piece that we also put on our CD over the weekend, and also Psalm 46. I might as well add that we did that then, too. Then, because our home concert happens to be on St. Patrick's Day this year, and I decided to do it throughout the tour, we're going to do the Irish Washerwoman from the Irish Suite by Leroy Anderson. And then one of my favorite David Gillingham pieces we're going to end the concert with, called With Heart and Voice. So that's pretty much the entire program. And, of course, we always do our special encore number called Who Puts His Trust in God Most Just, that Bach wrote and James Croft did the setting of. And the band actually sings. The Wind Symphony actually sings in that piece. We're also a choir.
I was excited when I heard fiddle.
Yes.
And antiphonal pianos.
But he uses fiddle in the score, but it's really violin. And it's amplified. There's a pickup on it as well. It's going to be a very exciting program.
Yes, but if you're coming on this side of the interstate of I-55, you can call it a fiddle.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
Is there a favorite piece for the Wind Symphony this year so far?
Wow, that's tough. I hope they like all of them. I would say right now, just because we just started this piece, but they are really into learning this Blue Shades piece by Frank DeKelly. Not to say they don't like all the other pieces as well, but they're having a lot of fun with that piece. It's really quite stunning. It's about 10 minutes long and takes you through a lot of different blues kind of feels to it. And I think they're really enjoying that right now.
Where is, tell me about the travels of the Wind Symphony this year. You mentioned a little bit earlier.
Yeah. First of all, in the fall, you know, we travel 2 to 3 to 4 times a year. And in the fall, we perform at the LEA convention, actually, in Grand Rapids for the closing service with the choir from Seward, Nebraska. And then we went up to Saginaw, Michigan, and down to Merrillville, Indiana. This particular tour, we're starting off, as we mentioned before, in Bethalto, Illinois. Then we go to Carmel, Indiana on March 4th, and then Dublin, Ohio on March 5th, and Painesville, Ohio on March 6th. Then we go to, we have a free day, but then we go to, actually the 3 days after this, we go to Niagara Falls, New York on Tuesday, March 7th, then a free day there. Then we go on to Westlake, Ohio on Thursday, March 9th, Brighton, Michigan on Friday, March 10th, Logansport, Indiana on March 11th, in Naperville, Illinois, at Bethany Lutheran Church, Sunday, March 12th. And our home concert, of course, is, like I mentioned before, on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. So it's not too far. Next year we're going to California, and last year we did a big tour, but we toured quite extensively, and of course we're ending our year with the South Africa tour, for a 16-day tour. The very first thing we do on that tour is go on a three-day African safari, and then we go down to Cape Town and do concerts there, and in Durban, Pietermaritzburg. We play concerts in Johannesburg, Pretoria, Vryheid. So it's going to be quite a tour season for us.
And what an exciting time in life for the students as well. To get to participate in this group and make great music, and to learn great music, and two, to get to travel together and and share this great music with others around the world and learn about the audiences that they're visiting as well. Tell me a little bit about when you're traveling like this, you know, for I don't play an instrument. I'm a singer. I'm a baritone. And so traveling and setting up when you're a singer is relatively easy. I can't imagine what this is like with an entire wind symphony travel and setup time and preparing for a concert. Just paint a picture for us what that looks like.
Sure. Well, we have two large buses, and one of them has a very large trailer behind it, and that's where all of our equipment goes. We used to use a 24-foot Ryder and have the students drive that, and when we found out we could get this trailer that can hold just as much equipment, we went to that. It does take a lot of time to set up, and the students all organize these committees involved with setup and moving luggage and everything and putting instruments together. It's quite an ordeal, really. It takes roughly, I'd say, a good hour to an hour and 15 minutes to set up for a concert. And then we have a sound check and a little rehearsal time. And then right after that, sometimes we have a little free time, but then we have dinner. And then after dinner, we change, and then we get together with the different sections of the Wind Symphony. About a half hour before the concert, they do a little warm-up in that. Then we have a devotion and prayer 15 minutes before the concert, and then the concert itself, which lasts roughly about 2 hours. And then after the concert, we all get together in a room, and we get in a circle, and we praise God, and we sing the doxology, and we have a prayer, and then I'll talk to them a little bit, and then they go meet their hosts. And that's pretty much what we do on these for these tour stops. I want to add one more thing, and the word heart really comes to mind. It's really all of us sharing our hearts, our faith, our music, our feelings, our emotions, and everything with the audience. And it's a visual thing, but it's also a heartfelt thing that we are very aware of where our talents have come from. I talk about that quite frequently with them in terms of people remembering how they felt when they leave. They may not remember who we are or the names of some of the pieces, but they remember how they felt. And I use three E words putting my programs together: entertainment, which I call sophisticated light kind of pieces, like that Irish washerwoman kind of a piece. Those kind of pieces that people can relate to fairly easily and enjoy. And then I use the word enhanced faith, where I choose sacred pieces that can enrich the people's lives and their faith in one way or another, and this time having them sing as well. And then I use another word, and that's enlighten. And we like enlightenment. We like to enlighten our audiences with new sounds, new composers, and yet through my verbal explanation or program notes, that they can hear some new sounds and pieces and themes and stuff, but be enlightened by them to hear something new that still they can reach out and go, wow, that's really nice. But it's really a heart thing, and I'm writing a book right now called Connecting the Head, and the heart, the things that really matter in the making of music. And through my 43 years at Concordia, it's taken me a long time to really figure out how important music is and how important that whole experience, even beyond the music, is that we have to offer people.
We are just about out of time, and I see that Sarah has written down about 20 questions, so we'll have to have you back on sometime in the future to talk more about music. And well, God's blessings on your travels. The Concordia University Wind Symphony, Concordia University Chicago, coming to Zion Lutheran Church in Bethalto, Illinois on March 3rd. And I'm sure if you contact the church, they can get you more information about that. We'll try to keep you updated here as well. And Dr. Fisher, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
This has been Faith and Family.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.